Okay, come on in for a landing, everybody. Beautiful. Okay. I'm going to let's do this. Let's scream. No, let's not scream. Before we stopped for lunch, we were addressing bring the mind where? To Prasadam. No. To Krishna. Bring the mind to Krishna, to the holy name. So I'm going to invite you all to take 5 minutes, count them, 5 minutes, to compose a little prayer. Because this is the prayer section, we're going back to the mind section. A prayer to the mind. Our great acharyas did it. We can follow in their footsteps. My dear mind, my dear mind, and then write a prayer. We're going to write a prayer to the holy name at the end of this session. But we'll break it up with, you write a prayer now. Something that you can remember tomorrow, or even look at tomorrow, or take a break and read tomorrow, to assist you from the mood that we're trying to nurture today, how to bring the mind to Krishna. Minutes and counting. Minute. Some of you have a lot to say to your mind. Oh my dear mind, oh my, oh my, oh my. Okay. We're going to move on now. And we'll move on to a quiz question. Don't blurt it out. Raise your hand if you think you know the answer. Nectar Devotion gives 64 items of devotional service that are recommended. At the conclusion, there's an indication from Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada presents, that there's one principle that all of the regulations of bhakti are in pursuit of, and it's from Padma Purana. What is that one principle that all regulations of bhakti are in pursuit of? Very good. What's the Sanskrit? Smartavya Satatam Vishnur Vishmartas. Okay. Najatu Chit. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, and all the vidhis are in pursuance of that one principle. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses the same thing, only in terms of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna Nama Bhulibe Na. Never forget the name of Krishna. In his Bhaktivedanta purports to the verses in Prahlad Maharaj's discussion with his beloved father, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad is giving the nine processes of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And under the chanting section, Prabhupada writes the following. This is in relation to prayer, the relation of prayer to chanting. What's the role of prayer in chanting Krishna's holy name? Prabhupada writes, in the book Nama Kamodi, it is recommended that if one is an offender against the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, he should submit to that Vaishnav and be excused. Similarly, if one is an offender in the chanting of the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and thus be free of all offenses. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as I mukta kulayar upasya manaha and nirvritta tayarshar upagiya manad. One should chant such prayers to become free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. And then he quotes the verse. Nirvritta tayarshar upagiya manad bhavosadat shotra manobira amad ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajita vina prashugnat. Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 4. Descriptions of the Lord spoken by those who are free of material desires are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death, and they delight the ear and the mind. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing himself? So there's a very nice short expression of the role of prayer, the role of prayer specifically, to reiterate what Prabhupada says, it helps relieve one of offenses. Prayer is intended to open one's heart to receive Krishna's mercy and to glorify the object of worship. I'm going to read a few, maybe more than a few, prayers to the holy name of Krishna. And one very wonderful set of those prayers is by Rupa Goswami. Being Rupa Nugas, we should be very eager to hear Rupa Goswami's prayers. It's Namastakam. It's similar but different. from Kevalasthakam. This is Prabhupada's translation of the first text. I'll read just three from Namastakam. Oh, Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadeva. Oh, Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. That's the first. Number two. Oh, Harinam, all glories to you, sung by all the sages. You are the supreme combination of syllables, and you bring transcendental bliss to all people. Even if a person utters you once disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. Oh, Harinam, may my love for you in your so many forms, such as Agadhamana, Agadhamana, the crusher of Agasura, Yashoda Nandana, Nandasuno, Kavala Nayana, lotus side, Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, merciful to the rendered souls, and Krishna, all attractive, always greatly increase. May my love for you always greatly increase. Then, listen carefully, this is a distinction between Vacha and Vachaka. Vacha and Vachaka. O Holy Name, you manifest yourself in two forms as Vacha, V-A-C-Y-A, Vacha, the Supreme Person, and as Vachaka, the sound vibration of the Holy Name. We know your second form to be more merciful than the first. Even a person who commits many offenses to the first form may always be plunged into an ocean of bliss by serving and worshipping your holy name. Very nice. Now Krishna manifests himself in two forms, the Supreme Person and his holy name. And of the two, the holy name is more merciful than the first. And so on. Rupa Goswami and his prayers to the Holy Name. We're probably not going to be able to compare our prayers to his prayers, but we can be inspired. And here's Padyavali. Padyavali is an anthology of verses, a compilation of verses by Rupa Goswami, under different topics. And the first topic is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the second topic is the Holy Name. So in Padyavali, we'll start with text 16. And I'll read some. And what he does is he gives the Sanskrit and we also have the translation. And who is the author? And some of the authors are known and some of the authors are unknown. And it's this many pages, so I'm not going to read like 10 pages, 9 pages. I'm not going to read all of them, but you may want me to read all of them because they're very nice. So first one, the author here is Sri Lakshmidhar. As the rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean, so the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offenses, can dissipate all the reactions of a living being's sinful life. all glories to that holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious for the entire world. Text 17. Extracting the four syllables that are the heart of the four Vedas, Lord Hari makes the word Narayana. Day and night, chanting this name, we become purified. We do not know any other better way to please Lord Hari, author unknown. Next is Ishwara Puri. Spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri wrote the following prayer. Let the twice born enter the fearless kingdom of yoga, Vedic study, and solitary meditation in the forest. Let them become liberated in that way. As for us, we will spend hundreds of thousands of births chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, whose splendid dark complexion and yellow garments are like a host of blue lotus flowers blooming in a grove of yellow flower-bearing kadamba trees. Ishwara Puri. Text 19, author unknown. May Krishna's holy name, which is a reservoir of all transcendental happiness, the destruction of Kali Yuga's sins, the most purifying of all purifying things. Sound familiar? The saintly person's food as he traverses the path of the spiritual world, the pleasure garden where the voices of the great saints, philosophers, and poets play, the life of the righteous, the seed of the tree of religion, bring transcendental auspiciousness to you all. Next, Padyavali, text 20. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, desires to chant your holy name, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear. The glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamaraja's scribe, Chitragupta, becomes happy and gazes at the chanter's toenails with awe and reverence. And Brahma prepares Madhuparka to worship him. O Lord, what more can we say than this? Text 21, these are all in sequence. Ananda Acharya writes, Lord Krishna's holy name is the only auspiciousness in the world. If one keeps it in his throat, then what is Yamaraj, the king of the other world, to him? What are Yamaraj's servants to him? Text 23, author unknown. If the opulence or knowledge of many millions of universes were clustered together, they would hardly equal a small fragment of the glory of Krishna's holy name. Krishna's holy name is my life. It is the goal of my life. It is the means I will employ to attain the goal of my life. Beautiful. Text 24. Lord Vishnu's holy name removes sin, establishes piety, makes one disinterested in the attempt to gain an exalted post like that of Lord Brahma, grants devotion for the lotus feet of the spiritual master, brings transcendental knowledge of Lord Vishnu, burns the seed of repeated birth and death, and places the saintly devotee in complete awareness of perfect transcendental bliss. Written by Sri Vyasadeva. And next is also written by Sri Vyasadeva. This is Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishnas. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purushuddho Nityamukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. Interesting translation by Srila Prabhupada. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. The name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Text 26. The Sanskrit is Madhura Madhuram Etan Mangalam Mangalanam, etc. Krishna's name is the sweetest of all sweet things, the most auspicious of auspicious things, the transcendental fruit of the vine of all Vedic literature. O best of the Bhrigus, chanted even once, even with faith or contempt, either with faith or contempt, it delivers the chanter. A couple more. The attempt to attain the heavenly Svarga planets impoverishes the entire world. The desire to attain impersonal liberation brings only trouble. The regimen of yoga is dry and tasteless. What is the use of endeavors like this? I will abandon them all and simply make my tongue chant, Krishna, Krishna. Author unknown. Next is Sri Sridhar Swami. O Lord, is your impersonal spiritual effulgence not always present everywhere? Even so, it has not been able to break even a single small leaf from the tree of repeated birth and death. On the other hand, the moment your holy name is taken by the tongue, it thoroughly shatters the tree of birth and death down to its root. Of these two, the spiritual effulgence or the holy name, which should be served? And Sri Lakshmidhar writes, the holy name of Lord Krishna, this is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal persons. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions. It is so powerful that, say for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation and is identical with Krishna. Simply by touching the holy name with one's tongue, immediately effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purusharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for all these activities. It is self-sufficient. There's more, and then the section that immediately follows is glorification of the holy name. That's just the holy name, then comes glorification of the holy name. Beautiful prayers to hear and recite. If I was Dravida, or if we had Dravida with us, we could have him sing them and read his poeticized translation, or not read, he would recite from memory. What a gifted person. In this section, there's a lot of verses that just have one name after the next name, after the next name, after the next name, after the next name, and then some glorification of these holy names. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, before composing our own prayer, I was thinking, could you two lead us in, if I give you a copy, you don't need the copy of these prayers, that you recite before you begin your japa each morning and like explain what that means for entering into the holy name. That's all right. Do you want the printout or you don't need it? You don't need it. Okay. Okay. Can someone assist with taking the microphone there?
These are prayers that, first of all, I'd like to offer my respects to all of you and thank you for coming to our remote outpost. It's so nice to see many of your faces again from last year and from when we went down to Seattle. And there's nothing sweeter than sharing glorification of this wonderful aspect of Krishna consciousness with all of you. So I'm very happy to be here. These prayers are derived simply to pull us more deeply into that consciousness that we're trying to understand here today, the consciousness of submission in prayer to the Holy Name. So for us, I found that sometimes after the morning program, I would just sit down and pick up my bead bag and start chanting, that there was something missing as far as going into the chanting and the consciousness that this is Krishna, that this chanting is non-different from Krishna. And so when I came across these prayers in kind of an unusual way, once we were at the japa retreat in Ojai, we first met Maharaj there, and Niranjan Swami was there with having a kirtan, a program at Giriraj Swami's house, and he was chanting from this little beautifully velvet-covered book, and so we boldly asked, "What is that book?" And he said, "It is my own compilation of prayers that I've taken all of Srila Prabhupada's purports, all of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purports, and added them to the prayers and put them in this book." So when we expressed great interest in the book, he very kindly went out and had 10 copies made of this whole prayer book and gave us each one. Those of us who had wanted them. And this little series of prayers, the Grahana, Nam Grahana Dasha prayers, are part of this particular compilation. And so we instituted in our ashram chanting of these prayers in the morning, and we found all of us, without question, a whole different outlook towards chanting, because these prayers enable you to address Nam Prabhu as a person, enable you to see Nam Prabhu as person, and that is enormously helpful in being able to absorb yourself in the chanting when you do chant. So the first of the prayers is simply there to immediately focus your mind on the beautiful form of Krishna. There's no other purpose for that. It is not to the holy name, it is to Krishna in his beautiful Tribhanga, threefold bending form. So the prayer is Tribhanga Bangi Marupam Venurandra Karanchitam Gopi Mandala Majastam Sobitam Nandanandanam. His form bent in three places, his hands bent over the holes of his flute. The son of Nanda Maharaj stands resplendent amidst a circle of gopis. Avigyam kuru male tvam harinama japeshu cha Sri Radha Krishna yor dasyam dehi male tu pratyaye. O Mala, Please destroy inauspiciousness in my chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari and grant me the position of service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This is all I pray, O Mala. Nama chintamani rupam namaiva paramagati namna parataram nashti tasman nama upasmahe. The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. It is the supreme goal. There is nothing higher than the holy name. I therefore worship the holy name. Nama yagya maha yagya kalo kalma sanasanam krishna chaitanya pritarte nama yagya samarpanam. The sacrifice of the name is the highest yagya, which destroys the contamination of Kali Yuga. In order to please Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer this sacrifice to the holy name. Patita pavana nama nishtaraya radama radha krishna svarupaya chaitanyaya namo namaha. The holy name is the savior of the fallen. O please deliver this lowest of men. Obeisances again and again unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unto Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Then this last one is my favorite one for a lot of reasons, but it's very, very beautiful. Tvam male sarva devanam sarva siddhi pradamata tena sachena me siddhim dehi matar namostute. O Mala, among all the gods, you are considered the bestower of all perfection. By dint of this fact, O Mother, please grant me perfection. Obeisances unto you. So what does that do for you when you hear those prayers, if you're sitting down to chant? Anyone? Doesn't that immediately make you want to chant? Doesn't it make you want to focus on chanting the holy name? It does me. It's very, very helpful in many ways. But each person may have a different way that they're impacted by those prayers. And whatever way that is that helps you connect more with the chanting, the prayer of submission, of chanting, is wonderful. Hmm. What would you add?
I would say that the prayers allow for a certain environment to be created, not only externally around you, but internally, so that some of the techniques that Maharaj mentioned this morning, that we discussed this morning, and that he gave us exercises to taste, become more accessible to the chanting. So this external environment is where we're allowed to run after Krishna shouting his name, or to pray to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, or to, as Dina said, go any place and use any technique that you can to allow the chanting to enter into the holes of your ears and stay there instead of go out the other side, which sometimes happens with mechanical chanting, doesn't it? That sometimes we even take the time to sit down and chant our japa, but we're so agitated in the mind that it just goes in there and some other goofy thought comes in, doesn't it? So these prayers, since we've been chanting them in our ashram, we find that our group chanting sessions are more potent from that, as Maharaj has been allowing us to chant very nice and slowly together, and you feel the potency of that. Well, this intensifies more and more and more when we create the environment of saying a prayer before we pray to the lotus feet of the holy name. That would be one thing. About the prayers?
Okay.
In relationship to Java.
Okay. I was thinking about prayer in relation to saying something about prayer, and I I had a thought that I thought that would be nice to share. And that is, there's the old aphorism that the quality of the question determines the quality of the outcome. And this is so true in how we approach, how we prayerfully approach the Holy Name. We could say that since the Holy Name is a prayer itself, that no real other understanding of a prayerful approach is absolutely necessary. But our scriptures and our previous acharyas have delineated prayer in a variety of ways that obviously they would like us to understand exactly how we're approaching. So in our Krishna consciousness approach to chanting prayer, japa and kirtan, that quality of the question is determined by the need of the devotee. What is the need in your prayer? In other words, the Skanda Purana describes that need as submission. And actually, in their definition of prayer, they define the prayers as degrees of submission or varieties of submission. So I may have a great need and address Krishna very feelingly, but the quality of the outcome, and what is the quality of the outcome of our prayer? What is that when we're chanting and when we're praying heartfelt, what is the outcome that we're looking for? We want Krishna. We want to reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna. And our scriptures have shown us where that need is the greatest. Krishna himself answers it almost as if by force. And who can think of some examples in our shastra of that, where someone's need was so great that Krishna had to come through their prayer? Yeah, Draupadi immediately comes to mind. Her need was so great that Krishna had to come. Gajendra, another one. Yeah, the need is so great that he is coming. We have the need of the wonderful story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time where Mukunda Das gave his son Raghunandana the service of feeding the prasadam to the deity. And he was going out on an errand, and when he came back, the prasadam was gone. And he said, "What did you do?" And he said, I gave the prasadam to the deity, and he ate it. And so the father was a little bit skeptical. And so in order to test him, he first of all chastised him a little bit. "No, I don't think, you know, he did that." And then he went to test him, and he gave a ladu. And Raghunandan, a young Raghunanda, went with the ladu in front of the deity, Gopal. "Please eat this. My father said you must take this." And when the deity didn't take it, he cried. He cried very much. And so Krishna again, the deity again took. And the father saw, Mukunda saw. And then he saw that this was a very exalted state, because he was humbly and sincerely crying in need. So if we go to Krishna with that great need, Krishna sometimes is forced to come out of his intense love for the devotee. But that need has to be a special kind of need. If I go to Krishna in great need and say, "Oh Krishna, please give me a new Mercedes," you know, is that need going to bring Krishna? No, that's not the kind of need that is wanted. We're trying to direct our sincere prayers and our thoughts and our needs to that intrinsic, in the heart need for Krishna, for reestablishing our relationship with him. So there is an interesting thing that Skanda Purana divides these prayers of submission in our chanting into three categories. And the first category, Samprarthanatmika. This is a prayer where we are trying to reestablish, trying to reveal our minds and reestablish very heartfeltly prayers to Krishna. So an example of this in our bhajans would be the prayer of Bhakti Vinod Gopinath, Mama Nivedan, very heartfelt prayers to Krishna. Then he gives another kind of prayer, the Dainya Bodhika prayers, the submission of humility, prayers of being very humble. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written his whole prayer book, Sharanagati, which is all, virtually all prayers like this, how I've wasted my life, how I've gone after material development of enhancement of my material life, and I forgot you, dear Krishna, but now I am trying to again come back and serve. Then the third kind of prayer, Lalasamayi. Lalasamayi prayers are trying to reestablish the perfectional stage with Krishna. Now I've done this before, the Dainya Bodhika prayers. I've forgotten you in this way. Now this is what I'd like to do in a positive way. This is now my prayers to you. So then in our Gaudiya line, in the Bengali prayers, they are also divided into some such types of prayers. The vigyaptis are again the calling out prayers. Famous vigyaptis are Kabihabe Bolo Sedinam, or when, oh when, will that day be mine when my offenses cease and taste for chanting the holy name increases? When, oh when, will your mercy shine? When will that day be mine? Very famous vigyapti. And Prabhupada's famous favorite bhajan, Hari Hari Bifale, the Ishtadeva Vigyapti, another very wonderful one. So these prayers in relation to chanting are just as important to understand in some way for our chanting of the holy name, so that we can always keep within our hearts a prayerful attitude to our chanting. Whether we're chanting japa, or whether we are singing in kirtan, or chanting by ourselves, this prayerful attitude is very, very important to cultivate, because this is what is drawing Krishna. This is what the need that we are creating within our hearts by trying to sincerely chant in a prayerful mood, that need is what is drawing Krishna ultimately to us. So this japa seminar is wonderful, because it's reminding us again and again through these prayers that the holy name is accessible to us as a vehicle for increasing the need for establishing that relationship with Krishna and learning how to properly pray to the holy name and pray in submission.
Like Dina, I'd like to offer my dandavats to each and every one of you, our guests and also residents in Sharanagati, that I feel so grateful for Maharaj requesting for number two, Japa Seminar number two in Sharanagati, for not only having your company, but for allowing us to share the nectar of exploring the holy name. Nothing. It's the sweetest, we just read, it's the sweetest of all sweet things. So all of our good fortune, our bhagya, is beyond being able to put into words. But, you know, and I just found out last night that Maharaj maybe requested us to say a little something, and all the devotees near know I'm not so practiced in this occupation. So I was thinking what to share with you about prayer, and it came down to perhaps even the beginning of praying or to chant the Maha Mantra and take full use of it. And so to do that, I was thinking we could go back into time. This is 2009, so we could go back a decade, 1998 and then 1988. In 1978, so go back to the year 1972. Who was born in 1972? Raise your hand. So, some of you might not have even been born then. But I was thinking also, reflecting, you know, Yadu Bara Prabhu has put out all these DVDs of Srila Prabhupada. So how many times do you see repeatedly that in those videos Prabhupada had his hand in his bead bag? Did you notice that? I mean, what would you say the percentage of footage with Prabhupada is with his hand in his bead bag? It's really rather immense. And the reason why is because Prabhupada had his hand in his bead bag. It wasn't that he was posing all Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He actually had his hand in his bead bag a great deal of the day. He had it in his private times when no one was there. He had it when guests were there. He had it when walking. He had it in the car. He had it morning, noon, and night. There were some times when we were with Prabhupada on Nagar Sankirtan, meaning the incredible period of time when Prabhupada first brought devotees from the west to India. So that was in the fall of 1970. And then until the cornerstone was laid in Mayapur and Vrindavan in March of 72. For that period of time, pretty much the party that was with Srila Prabhupada traveled with him throughout India. So I'm saying that period alone, when he was with his devotees, always hand in the bead bag. And I was trying to think back, did he give us any personal instructions into prayer, to chant? And I couldn't remember specific instructions that I got or that was shared by others with me. But there was one incident that really stands out in my mind very strongly, and that was at a place called Akash Ganga. It was the precursor residence to our temple in Juhu, which was later in Juhu. And it was a morning time, so we're going back to this morning. And you can also just visualize in your mind, this is an apartment building, and in the very front of the apartment building that faces the sea, there's one front room, and that's Prabhupada's bedroom, and the room right next to it is the temple room. And all the devotees are more or less gathered in the temple room, with the exception of a few men, which are doing the walking. You know how sometimes men in the temple, or maybe ladies do in your temple as well, I don't know, but they kind of do, to stay awake, they'll walk. Do you have that? So that was the mood, that was what was happening in this temple room. And you know, every once in a while, I generally almost always chant with my eyes closed, but either kirtan or japa. But I happen to open my eyes and kind of take in everything, look at the beautiful deity, like Maharaj had us absorb ourselves in the beautiful deity. And then all of a sudden, I felt Prabhupada's presence in the room. Sure enough, he had come into the room from his room, which was right next to ours, and sat on the Vyasasan. And the minute Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan, everything changed. Just like you said, Maharaj, you could hear the difference of attentive chanting, or focused chanting, or serious chanting, or absorbed chanting. This was as clear as this is the eastern mountain range in Sharanagati, and in the morning the sun comes over that rise. So that's what it was like when Prabhupada came in this room. Tremendous change, and further, Prabhupada sat and started watching each and every one of us in the room. So we were watching him, and he was watching us, and we were chanting. So have you had an exchange like that yet with your Guru Maharaj? Have you? Who has had that? Please raise your hand. So if you have, you know the zone that it takes you to, or the place that it takes you to. It is very intense. So I remember then, instead of having my eyes closed, naturally they were focused on Srila Prabhupada. And he lifted his bead back every once in a while, shaking like this. Within a short period of time, the environment that we were talking about, how these prayers changed the environment, the whole environment in the room changed. Not only in terms of the chanting, but in terms of the posture. All of a sudden, everyone was sitting straight back. No, even slouchy. Square shoulders, straight back. Raised head, all looking at Brahman. Tremendous change. And in my mind's eye, for me, it was as if Srila Prabhupada were sitting in the center of a lotus flower. And we were the petals around the lotus flower. And this was like the opening of the petals on the lotus flower. If you've ever seen a lotus flower open, it's some very, very beautiful thing. So that happened inside this room on this morning. And this went on for a good, I believe, 40 minutes. I'm going to ask Vishaka's help because you were present that morning, were you? So as soon as I'm finished, I will just ask Vishaka to give her comments to help to illuminate this moment or to preserve this moment or share this moment with you. But the two things I do remember next about this was after all, and all the people that were walking around sat down. Nobody was doing this walking anymore. There was enough, because of Prabhupada's presence, that was the keep awake factor. There's no question of anyone dozing off during this japa period, even if your eyes were so heavy. So then, two things I remember that were helpful or instructive from this japa session with Srila Prabhupada. The first was, one of the students took out a notebook. There were three things. One student, it was one of Prabhupada's servants, took a notebook and started writing something down. Immediately he disturbed the japa and he said out loud, "What are you writing this for?" So, you know, he started to justify his behavior. I was a no. During japa, only japa. So that was good. During japa, only japa. If you set aside time to do japa, do japa. If you set aside time to add to your numerous to-do lists, set aside time for that, but not during japa. That was one thing. Second thing was one of the brahmacharis. Prabhupada looked down and said, "When did you wash your bead bag last?" Not when did you put it in the laundry, but when did you wash your bead bag last? So he mumbled something, which I won't say, but it wasn't yesterday. And so Srila Prabhupada said, "Brahmachari should wash bead bag every day. New bead bag, new clean bead bag every morning." And the last thing was with his fallen wretched disciple Yamuna, who saw the sunrise and started chanting her Gayatri. So he said, "What are you doing?" And so I had to justify what I was doing and said, "Chanting my Gayatri." And he said, "No, during japa you chant japa. If you want to chant Gayatri, you get up, go chant somewhere else." So these were three things that I remember from that morning, as well as the incredible sense of power and potency of chanting through. It's like Yami's question, Yama Arjuna Prabhu's question, and your reciprocation this morning about going through others to receive the holy name. So we're so fortunate now that we not only have your guru, but our generation has our guru, and then we have Prabhupada, who had his guru, glorious Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then glorious Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we have this disciplic succession of going through, and then all of these personalities that you read prayers from today, going far, far, far back. And there we're all receiving that blessing and that mercy, depending on how we want it. how we want to embrace that and how hungry we are for that. So even one little story, like this little 1.5 hour period or hour period with Srila Prabhupada, way back in a room in Akashganga on the 7th floor of this building, we can all take the nectar of that into our hearts today and allow this to be just another tiny drop of nectar that helps us to relish this time we have together and hopefully continues to launch us into ever higher places of relishing the holy name. So Vishakha Prabhu will tell a little bit about that morning.
I also want to express how grateful I am that all of you have come so far for this retreat. And it's a joy to sit here and see all your bright faces and see your sincerity to come closer to the Holy Name. And I think it inspires all of us here in Sharanagati, the inmates of Sharanagati, to also try to come closer and closer to relishing the glories of chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. So thank you for coming. Please come every year. As far as this wonderful time that Jamuna Prabhu was referring to, what I remember is Prabhupada's attitude. These glorious god sisters of mine had a few hours to prepare. I didn't have any time at all to prepare. But, you know, when we describe Srimati Radharani, we say on the one hand that she's always brightly smiling, and on the other hand, she's always very grave. So if you look at that, you can become confused. How is that all possible, these two apparently opposite qualities? But that morning, that's what I remember in Srila Prabhupada, that he was very grave, and yet he was also very cheerful. I think he was delighted to see his disciples trying in their own inept way to follow his instructions. And yet he also wanted to bring us closer to Krishna by these various instructions that he gave us. There was one other time in India where one of his disciples, I think actually it was a bhakta, who asked Prabhupada a very unusual question. He said, is there a time when I chant around and the quality is so poor that I shouldn't count it as part of my 16 rounds? And as Prabhupada sometimes did, he acted as if he hadn't quite understood the question or quite heard, but it was very clear. But what he did was he held up his own bead bag, and he said, when you chant around, you just pull down. It's not very complicated. You just pull down, the counter bead that you've chanted. You don't try to evaluate the quality of your round and see, well, should I count it? No, you just go on. You don't, time is passing, and there's always the next round to try to improve. You don't have to lament about the last round that was perhaps not as good as it could have been. So we simply keep trying. That's the point, and I think Maharaj is inspiring us by all these wonderful shlokas that he's bringing forward from the various scriptures. Not to give up, but to take our vow very seriously and to always keep in mind the goal to go back home, back to our dearmost friend in the spiritual world. And also we can be reminded in Sharanagati also of the various miseries if we don't achieve that goal. We've been swatting away mosquitoes and the heat and the cold and the this and the that. So that's still another impetus from Krishna to try to improve. Oh, that was in Juhu. I used to go with, I was a photographer, and I would go every morning and with Prabhupada on his morning walks along Juhu Beach, which he relished very much, that area, walking. So I was waiting for him. He would go just before dawn, so it was dark, and I was sitting on a landing below his flat, just quietly chanting. And he... What, is there something wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. sorry. So it was pre-dawn, it was still a bit dark, and I was sitting chanting, waiting for Prabhupada to come. And he came so softly that I didn't hear him, and it was a little bit dark, so I didn't see him either. And he walked by me, so close I could have reached down and touched his lotus feet. And as he walked by me, he said, "Thank you very much." I was just sitting, chanting. I wasn't doing anything unusual. But we can understand that Srila Prabhupada is thanking each and every one of us for chanting Prabhupada every day. It was a very beautiful. There was one other time, my husband, Yadavar Prabhu, and I were filming him in his quarters in Los Angeles. There was skylights and big pictures of the various acharyas. And at that time, he was walking and chanting his japa. My husband, he ran out of film, so he had to go into the, this is old days when we used to, he had to go to the next room to change his film and his camera, which took 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, this is, so I was there alone with Prabhupada, and he stopped walking, and he stood in front of a picture of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. It was portrayed, it was a picture, a painting by Pushkar Prabhu, and he's sitting on a rock in his kopan, and leaning forward, you know, with white hair, very intent on his japa. And Prabhupada indicated that painting, and he said to me, "Such an old man, and still he is chanting." Mm. They're so profound. So I realized I couldn't say anything, I was mute. But what I took with me since that moment was that there's no material excuse for not chanting Hare Krishna. Mm. That whatever our condition, our body, bodily condition or our mental condition, still we can go on chanting. Thank you very much.
Taras, do you mind if we move? Because it's getting really hot in the sun here. So, do you all want to stay in the sun?
No.
Move forward a little bit. The sun's going to follow us. Yeah, if all of you would just get up really close to
It's writing time again, but before we do our writing, just say something that's obvious, express something that's obvious. While you three are not accustomed to, as you put it, to women speaking, and I am, but the experiences with Prabhupada and the depth of your appreciation for sadhana and appreciating the holy name and relishing that in the association of devotees is it's worth coming all the way to Sharanagati for.
feel the same about you so much. Oh, here we get to look forward to so we thank again.
So, we've been hearing about prayer and the role, specifically the role of prayer in chanting of the holy name. We've heard a number of prayers by perfected souls and how they're appreciating the holy name. We'll take some time to write, request you to write a personal prayer to the Holy Name, to help fix your mind today for tomorrow, tomorrow's chanting. And then we'll see how the rest of our time goes. We may have only time for one more thing. We'll see how it goes. Maybe tomorrow morning, both of you could lead us in, that's just after Mangal Arati. We'll be chanting before, but just after Mangal Arati, those five prayers? Six prayers? Okay. I have a copy, actually.
Honey, what time do you start tomorrow morning?
Well, the morning is at 7, and it's 7:30, at 7 a.m. to 7:30, so 7:30. Okay.
I thought
you meant 5:30.
No, 7:30.
Oh, we'll be here then. There'll be japa before then, but then it's from 7:30 after those prayers, it's Mona. If it works, great. If something, you know, standing as an obstacle in the way, we'll do something else if you can. Prayer to the Holy Name. Personal. Personal. Okay. Well, from the session that we had this morning about the previous retreat, let's do this. A repeat of something we did in our previous retreat, the pairing up with another person and taking 4 or 5 minutes of hearing the other person's japa. They're pronouncing 16 syllables of the Maha Mantra and then give some critique and then take the other direction. The person that was chanting will be the listener. Do you all want to take some time and do that? Yes? Okay. Find your friendly partner. Krishna is listening. Be present with Krishna. Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to share something that they learned or heard or understood from this? Something about your own chanting that now you feel you can improve? Yes? From time to time you'll do that.
Yeah, and next time when we do something like that, we'll ask. See you next year. Some good chanting.
Okay, well, I doubt.
When someone is watching you, mind's interested in multiple systems, like it doesn't go to other product in you or something else, then you have to be more mindful of like not diverting your attention somewhere else.
What I'm feeling inspired to say in response to these three feedback items is, I don't have the time to do this, but I would like to have the time to invite anyone to record your chanting. Maybe we could just do it even, I may or may not listen. Invite anyone to record, if you're willing, record not just, you know, like 5 minutes, but a half an hour. So prepare to record a half an hour of chanting and, you know, and send it to me as an attached file. And at random, when I'm just lounging around and doing nothing at all,
when did that happen?
Not this year, that's for sure. But I can commit to listen to some of them. And, you know, a random sample of some of them. So I'll extend that to all of you who wish to do so. May, so you rehearse. You know, Maharaj is going to listen to this. So you practice like someone's listening. And then record a half an hour, you know, more or less. And then put it as an attached file and send it. And some of them I'll listen to. And the ones that I'll listen to, I'll listen to pretty much for the whole thing. To hear when the fade out comes, and then the fade back and fade in comes. And yet you can do that with your own chanting. You can listen and you can tell when you're, you know, zoning out, when you're coming back. Okay? Any other sharing? Yes.
What's the reason that the immortal spouse can record a sweat chanting? That's been recording action about how we usually chant, how we're doing.
Sneak recording? Sloppy japa. Okay. Well, that's a nice way to catch somebody making a mistake, but it's even better to catch somebody doing something right. So, I like, you know, both have their place. Anyone else? Yes, I'm sorry.
Maharaj, when you offer to listen love from you for us, like, take the time to for our spiritual life. Thank you.
Well, that's what coming to Sharanagati is. I could tell you what it got waiting for me back there. It's a pile. It's as big as that mountain over there.
As the person who was listening, I had to kind of like split my mind.
May I comment? Please. In one word, soivus. It's a service. It's a service. It's an assist. Did you feel the other way around? That, you know, when you were chanting and she was listening, you know, why is she listening? I feel uncomfortable. Why is she listening? You were feeling, I hope I can get some good feedback here so I can go up. And when you're doing something like what you just felt uncomfortable about, just switch the channel to, this is a service. You know, what I'm doing right now is uncomfortable, but it's a service. You know, anyway, Hare Krishna. Anybody that has the idea that, oh gee, I can't wait till I can sit on this seat in front of a whole bunch of people and blah blah, that person should go jump in the lake. But that person who can do as a service, that's nice. lose that mood of service, you lose your Krishna consciousness. Do each of the things that you do. You register the devotees. It's not like, okay, I'm in charge, look out, you better serve. But it's just a service. And that's also each thing. You know, calling upon our three senior Matajis here to share with us, that's a service. They were not like, oh, wow, we're getting recognized now, that's great. It's just a serve, they're serving. That's our medium. Loving service unto one another. And different ways of doing that. Lose that, we lose our Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
I learned something new. I was pronouncing Rama as Ram.
One syllable instead of two.
Yeah, instead of Rama.
Yeah. One syllable instead of two. Okay. Okay. Now you have, see? With this service, now he can chant the whole Maha Mantra instead of most of it. At least try. Nice. Anyone else would like to share? Okay, so we have about 15, 18 minutes. So one more. This is give credit where credit is due. This is from Borijan Prabhu, who has helped me in my Krishna consciousness, like by Krishna's arrangement. He didn't know that exactly, but subjectively, when I was in college, I was just learning about chanting the holy name. He gave me my first Hare Krishna literature. It was back to Godhead magazine and the Ratskeller of the Student Union building. And then he was, you know, the visionary that led the VIHE. And I started every year teaching in VIHE during the month of Kartik when I was able to do things like that I like to do. And then he had the vision to start Japa retreats, and he did it very quietly. Like, really quietly. He and Sachinandan Swami went to Varsana and Govardhan, and very quietly they conducted Japa retreats. And I, just off the radar screen, it wasn't for fanfare, it was for persons who they had relationships with to go more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. And from that, Sachinandan Swami has written several books, I mean, as well as other things, and other retreats in Borijan also. So there are four, what he calls tips for good chanting. We're going to do one of them in the next 15 minutes, including like practicing it. It's real simple. First one's really simple. One mantra at a time. That's the principle. Those of you that were here last year, you heard it, and hearing it again might help make it go more deeply. The principle is you can't chant the round that you chanted before not as nicely as you wanted to, and you can't chant the round that you're going to chant later now, but you can chant the one round, the one mantra that you're chanting now. So be present with the holy name. You're like, not past, what you didn't do well, what you want to do in your chanting or in your life, or lamenting over what didn't go well, something in the past, in some conversation or some event, and oh, why this? And be present. And at our Chicago event this past weekend, the Festival of the Holy Name, several people said that carried them through the entire, it was a different type of venue and a different type of experience, but it was a 32-round day, but it just carried them through the whole time, one mantra at a time, and they felt the time passed quickly, which is interesting because time can pass quickly or slowly. And one might think if it's one mantra at a time, that's tedious. It will take a lot of time to get one. But you know, of course, you can only chant one mantra at a time anyways. But the sense of passage of time goes quickly when you're absorbed. And it drags on when you're not. So, it connects with this other idea that the sense of be present, at least for me, that's an expression of personalism. Be present with another person. Relate with another person. Instead of being physically present but absent. Like not there, although you're physically there. So be present is be fully consciously tuned in to the person in a very personal way. So it's not altogether different, but it's one mantra at a time. One mantra at a time, one mantra at a time, one mantra at a time. Don't worry about past or future. Be in the moment. It's very powerful. So let's take until prasadam arrives, time with one mantra at a time. One of the feedback comments from the previous retreat was more time for japa, and so I deliberately thought to do that. We'd have these exercises where we could actually just have some more japa. And a pleasant surprise, I had asked for it, but I forgot I had asked for it. These are these prayers that Dinatarani chanted. I did a copy for everybody with the verse and the translation. What we don't have is, we heard earlier that you had kind of poeticized or personalized the translations in some way. Someone said that? You said? The whole year they kept that and cherished it and are sharing on the first morning that you had missed. That was what she shared with us. That this one, there's a group of Matajis in Seattle that every day since they left Sharanagati they've been chanting this. And then the other one is the Kirtan one. Did you write them down by any chance?
I thought I would give the scanned copy, or I can write it.
Okay, you at the when we all who has you have the registrations? Do you have emails with the registrations?
Last year's, I haven't done the registration.
Okay.
March, I have everybody's email.
Okay, so you give it to Nandasutta, and he'll send out. Did everybody? Did you receive the funding that you require to cover the costs here?
I haven't begun anything yet.
Okay, you want to know when to do that? Before you take prasadam, not like, you know, you can't take prasadam, but that would be a nice time. Just, you can have a table right over by the prasadam table, and if you have not yet registered, please do so, so that the expenses can be covered. And, you know, if it's, you know, some later time, just let her know at such and such time, I'll take care of this, and, you know, have something at the cabin or the house or the motel or the wherever. So we can cover our expenses. And I'll leave these with you. You can see that everybody gets a copy, however you want to take care of that. Okay. Any other housekeeping, practical stuff before we just start our one mantra at a time? The prasadam should be 5:30. It doesn't look like it's going to make it, but and then kirtan at 6:30. I'll make mention of the schedule tomorrow, although it says it. There are extra copies of the schedule somebody does not have a copy of the schedule, you can get a copy. And so particularly important, two things are particularly important for tomorrow. Mona, it's disturbing for those that really want to focus. If there's conversation, try not to do that. You know, if the roof is ablaze, then you might have to say, you know, fire or something. But otherwise, try to, you know, or deal something with your children or something. Mona will start, will come here, assuming it's nice sky like it is today, tomorrow morning, will come here at 7 a.m., Mangal Arati, 7, yes? Go ahead. And we also heard, I don't know what the background is, but Uttama Mataji said, when I was suggesting we continue there, she said, logistically it won't work, it has to be here. I didn't ask why, I just accepted it. Mangal Arati at 7 o'clock here. For whatever the reason that Uttama Mataji wanted, that's good enough for me, whatever it is. Mangal Arati at 7 o'clock here. 7:30 we'll be led in these prayers. And from that point, and then a short like launch for the 64 round day. Then those prayers, so that 8 o'clock. And from that point on, it's Mona. The other thing is, from doing this a number of times, not too many times, but the number of times that I've done this, it's really helpful if the devotees stay together. If you need to walk around, find walk around. The feedback is those that stayed helped those that stayed, and it was a better experience all around, a very powerful experience. If you want to go for a walk, go for a walk. Stay is better. And so the breakfast times will be Mona, and lunch time will be Mona, and right through to the evening. This thing that says reflection, guided reflections, will also be, bring your notebook, and it will be in a time for you to write down what your experience is, which the next morning you can share if you so desire. So, any questions on the schedule? Oh yes, that we'll have, I don't know where Uttama wants us to be, but those that are going to do 32 rounds instead of 64 will go somewhere nearby. Like, we'll find out where she wants that to be. And then, so it's not like, you know, bifurcation and people that want to continue just get abandoned or something. We'll try to do it integrated somehow. Have to hear from her tonight. Questions on the schedule? Or any other practical thing? Okay. One mantra at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.